Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
Ooh. Welcome to the Uncle Pucker New Jersey Devil podcast. I'm Chris with Bobby and Tim this evening. What's up, boys? How's everybody doing?
Trying to figure out if I'm happy or sad or just going to get over this last game and move on. Very, very emotionally weird couple of days.
Hell hath no fury like a goalie scorned. And I'll tell you, Mackenzie Blackwood, I mean, comes back to the Garden State where we all but basically helped him pack his shit to get him the fuck out of here. And bad heel and all. He comes into the Rock and just, I mean, he was not letting a goal in, man. He was on a mission.
44 save performance. I believe that's a San Jose Sharks record in a 1-0 shutout. 44 shots.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Just to make it even worse. Right.
Yeah, you know, he definitely had this game circled on his calendar. There's no question he didn't. The crazy stat I saw is he had four goals saved above expected, which is pretty preposterous for one single game. And I think that was the story of the game. He played really well. You know, a lot of people are, you know, throwing all kinds of shit around like, oh, this guy sucks and this guy sucks and what are we doing? Like the team played very well. We had a ton of chances. Just, you know, third game in four nights is a thing. It happens. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the ice looked like it was absolute dog shit. And
I didn't notice that.
It looked like it looked really bad. I think there was an Iron Maiden concert the night before. Mm-hmm. So.
Iron Maiden on ice? That'd be awesome. Right? Skate to the hills. I can keep going.
No, we're going to stop right there.
Yeah, no, we just we get it. We get it. It's cool.
I got a whole bunch more Iron Maiden songs I can sing.
No, like, it's just, you know, like the, you know, I know Jack and Luke eat shit, like, you know, once a game. Like, that's like a lock, you know, just on their own, they'll eat shit. But yeah. Timo ate it once. Just Siegenthaler, like, caught an edge. I thought he went into the boards pretty hard.
Yeah,
that looked pretty awkward.
I remember that.
And then the puck hopped over, right over Dougie's stick at the blue line. I think it was on the 6-on-4, might have been the 6-on-5 towards the end of the game.
Yeah, it was.
So it's just like the ice looked bad. They looked slow. They looked tired. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can go into that. But you know what? The process is still there and they're playing well. You know, it's just fiddling with some numbers. Their expected goal differential is still going up. You know, they're top in the league across the board in pretty much every advanced metric, top five, top 10, and pretty much everything except for goalies.
They're letting in on average like 1/7 of a goal less per game. I think the goals against the average came down from like 3.4 to 2.7. So, you know, 0.7% of a goal. So it takes, you know, basically two games for them to give up another goal. So that's really good. Yeah, it looked like they were just having a little bit of trouble in the beginning, right? And like you said, the 3-4 is a thing. The back-to-back is a thing. I'm really not too worried about this one going forward. Just one of those games. But at the same time, like, it literally pisses me off that, again, it's the last-place team. We can't just bucket 2 points.
They're not the last-place team anymore. They're not the worst team in the league anymore. Oh. The Predators are.
Oh, well, then them were good.
Thanks to us.
You know, it... I did not want them to lose this game, and it's not because San Jose is a bad team, because I've watched quite a few Shark games and they're actually just a young team. I don't know if I would classify them as a bad team. They are learning and they make mistakes and they get hemmed in their defensive zone and they give up goals, but they have a lot of dudes on that team. That, like, I think this Devil team, if we didn't have Timo Meier and we had Fabian Zetterlund, I think that this team would be fine. I really think Zetterlund is a great player. I think he would have grown in this offense and playing on this team, and I think he would have been a top six guy that we'd be extremely happy with right now. And I'm not shitting on Timo. The deal is the deal. I get it. But I like Fabian Zetterlund. And I love Celebrini. I mean, this kid's for real. He's a hell of a player.
He is fun to watch, man. He's going to be so good. He's very much in that sort of somewhere in between kind of Crosby and Jack Hughes a little bit.
I agree.
He's got that two-way game, but he's got a little bit of more offensive flair. He's going to be a good player. And like, you know, you throw in some other guys, you know, Toffoli, even though he skates with concrete blocks on his feet, you know, he's still a very good player.
Yep.
Granlund's a good player. You know, our future fourth line star, Nico Sturm's a good player.
I hope so.
So, after reading that article and then watching first we had Evans on Montreal and then Sturm last night.
It was tough. The reason I wanted them to win that game was because of the schedule moving ahead this week. It was just to have those good vibes and feel good about yourself as you roll into the two games against Florida, which, you know, look, this is the litmus test. This is it. Every game so far has led up to this moment tomorrow night, and that is how are you going to fare against the Stanley Cup champs? Because we beat them once last year. In their building, we played a great game, one of the few games that we actually had a complete 60 minutes. But these two teams don't like each other. And then if you're dealing with two games in a row, like I expect Thursday night to get really chippy, really physical. And I'm not, you know, this is like, you know, I just think that this is a test for this team on every level. And it's kind of sucks that you shit the bed against San Jose going in. Like you thought it going into that West Coast swing, right? Edmonton and Vancouver, two really tough games, two tough teams. We kind of thought that they would beat the Calgary one, and then we didn't know about the other two. It ended up going the other way. But I look at that Anaheim game and that 6-0 or 6-2 win against Anaheim as kind of that little springboard to get us in there. And now we have a big fat goose egg going down to Florida. So I don't know. Do you guys think that's going to affect them in this game, games going forward?
I don't. I still think that everything's positive in that locker room right now. I did have them penciled in for a loss and a win in the last two games. I kind of thought Islanders, that seemed to me like, again, I just hate playing the Islanders for whatever reason. I very well could have seen us losing that game and beating San Jose. We just flip-flopped it. I think that they came off a very emotional win with the Islanders. They just got goalied yesterday and goalied and scheduled, right? Yes. And now they're going to get a little break. They're going to go down to Florida. Well, not a break. It's one day off, but they're going to go down to Florida. And this team does play up, in my opinion, and I think they're going to continue to do that. And then, like you said, dude, anytime you play the same team 2 days in a row or two games in a row, anything from the first game carries over. It's like a very mini kind of playoff set. So anything that aggravates the two teams on Tuesday is going to be exacerbated on Thursday. So, yeah, Thursday should be awesome.
It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's going to be must-see TV. I'm definitely going to enjoy that. Another kind of thing that's going into this is you know, with Lazar and Bastion getting hurt, we have only 12 forwards on the roster right now. We don't have anyone else bringing in, and we've been running out the same 12 forwards out. But that Tatar, Dowling, McDermott line is barely getting like 5, 6, 7 minutes a night. And when you have three games in four nights, I hate to keep bringing it up because, like, that is going to strain your top three lines. And you could see it, but they still managed to outplay San Jose, I think, pretty significantly. I mean, putting 44 shots on them is good. They were just a little bit off, you know, like, and they're overpassing in a couple of places too.
They got
Mercer pass.
I was going to say that you're right. They got a little too cute in some of those places where, you know, the whole, we talked about it, you know, a week ago, this team doesn't cheat for offense. They were cheating a little bit yesterday. And I felt like San Jose was just, we had a lot of offensive pressure, but San Jose just kind of wanted those loose pucks more. They were skating their asses off. Like, they wanted to beat this team. Like, I've watched this team a few games so far, and there's just nights where, you know, San Jose just doesn't seem like they have anything going, whether or not they're tired, they're young, whatever. They came into this game, and I don't know if it was for Toffoli, for Zetterlin, for, you know, Vanacek, Blackwood, but everybody, there's a lot of former Devils on this team. And I think the whole team had that game circled on their calendar. And, you know, it bit us in the ass. And I don't think we played a bad game at all. I think that they beat us in the spots that, even the goal, right, is a fluky fucking goal. And you know, but again, we should have won that game, but I give full credit to San Jose. I thought they played a very good game. And
frustrating is the word, right? Yeah. Especially the first two periods. It just seemed like no matter what the Devils did, they were getting no traction. Nothing was happening. Sticks were in the lane. Odd things were happening. The third period was pretty good, like all the pressure. But yeah, it just seemed like it was just very frustrating. Just one of those games where you can kind of watch it and you just, you know, in your gut, like, of course we're going to say we can get a goal and tie these guys and beat them.
Oh, I thought.
But you also seen enough hockey to be like, this doesn't feel right. You know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, like about the shots being in lanes, like so much was getting blocked, you know, like weird deflection. Stuff was just flying off into the corner. Like it wasn't just it. It was tough. So
what do you guys make of the Islander game? And I mean, I'll just start by saying that I really hope the Islanders make the playoffs this year, because I will pay any amount of money to watch Jack Hughes versus Ilya Sorokin for a 7-game series, because that was just awesome to see two guys that are top of their field at what they do. And they both put on shows. And I was like, man, I hope that we meet these guys in the playoffs, because I would love to see that for 7-game series.
I think Jack just likes to score on New York goalies too, man. Like I know Sorokin played great, but he still let in two of Jack's goals.
Yeah, but he just got a one flair save for that New he York. Made on that breakaway where he just right pad out, and he was so strong on the post, and you knew that, you know, that pissed Jack off. And yeah, you're right, but like they were going after each other, man. That was like the matchup so far this year. That was like, that's what I want to see. Sorokin versus Hughes. As many games as possible.
Yeah, best goalie in the Metro.
maybe. I mean,
I went from fetal position to naked in like 6 minutes. It was the best.
That was a heck of an ending, I'll tell you. That was
this was one of the games that I wasn't watching. I was out. I was paying attention to the score, and at one point, you know, I literally just put it on. I saw 3-1. I saw 6 minutes left. I'm like, well, I don't need to keep watching this anymore. And then I just checked it again, like just literally a couple minutes later. I'm like, I got to go home and throw this game on now. Yeah. And that's great for the team. Listen, it's great. Those things are going to happen once in a while, right? It's not a recipe for success. You don't want to have to score twice in the last 4 minutes all the time and then win it in overtime. But those are huge wins, and those are big points. That's why I am just – normally I'd really want to be pissed about that San Jose game, but I just can't. I just can't be pissed about it right now.
Yeah, I, you know, besides bragging about having a life that I don't, I couldn't agree
going
more.
Going out the
know,
next like, two Saturdays, boys.
Well, I'll be sitting, here with my, dog.
If I could do four in a row, I'd beat the Devils winning streak.
Yeah, right? It was like we finally got to three, and then we just cannot get over the hump. What do you guys expect for this coming week? I mean, we're talking two games against the champs and one against the team that came into our barn and made us look stupid with like an 8-2 victory or something a few weeks ago. So these are three tough games. I know Tampa is, you know, kind of going the other direction lately, but you know, Tim, what do you expect out of these three games?
I think they're going to get their ass kicked tomorrow. Then come back, win in overtime on Thursday, and then absolutely kick the shit out of Tampa as a revenge game. So I think they're going to go 1-1-1, and it's going to be looking pretty bleak after tomorrow.
Mm. How bad do you think we're going to lose tomorrow?
Like 4-1, 5-1.
Wow, that bad, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. Coming off that San Jose game, we're winning with McDermott in the lineup, but that fourth line is just the way it's playing and the way they're managing the minutes. It's just not a sustainable model. Like you need to be able to play four lines, like Lazar, Bastion. Those guys were up over 10 minutes a night. You know, now you see Jack, Brad, Nico, all their ice time is creeping up above 20 minutes. Nico and his line has been kind of getting a little bit caved in over the past couple games. Like they haven't really been all that great. So there are some concerning underlying trends. I think overall the team's going in the right direction. I just think walking into Florida, into their building, I think they've won six or seven in a row. I actually haven't looked it up, but you know, they're 12-3 or something like that. Like this has disaster written all over it, which means the Devils are probably going to play great and get a shutout. So,
yeah, it seems like we're not allowed to have Nico and Jack's lines both going at the same time, huh? We just can't. It's just not part of the Devils' plan for this year. One line just scores all week, and then the next one.
The Flyers managed to score on the Sharks today. I'm just saying.
No, that's great.
Well, you know, that tweet that I sent you guys a screenshot of, you know, of I think Nico is kind of getting a little bit hard mashed against some top line centers. You know, and Leon had 0 points, Pedersen had 0 points, mm-hmm. Suzuki had 0 points, Tage Thompson had 0 points, Clayton Keller had 0 points, all kind of mash up against Nico. So there is an element of that, and it's just not, you know, he's
it's fine.
Yeah, he's like, all right, my heart candidacy's over. I'm going to go focus on the Selke.
Well, yeah, Jack's going for both. Look out.
It's nice seeing him out on that kill again, man. That was pretty interesting. Him and Brat were really,
I tell you,
knocking that puck around.
I really like how Sheldon Keefe is coaching this team. I really like that he has, first of all, I love the fact that, and this is new for us being, you know, three years with Lindy Ruff, like we actually have set lines. Like, and they, yeah. And he does not, other than when certain dudes have to be out for a penalty kill or a power play or whatever, he doesn't fuck with those lines. He doesn't juggle them. He believes in the lines he has out there, and he's letting them develop chemistry, which I really like. I also like the fact that he is putting Jack in kind of positions that maybe before this year would make Jack be a little uncomfortable. But the way that you become one of the best players in not just hockey players, best at anything, is putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. And you learn to play that way. And look at his face-offs. And we said it for years on this show. Jack at some point will be one of the best face-off guys in the league. He's just that kind of player. Like, if this is something I'm not good at, I'm going to practice until, and he has all the natural ability, all the God-given ability to do whatever the hell he wants. So you see his face-offs now, he's getting much more comfortable, winning some big face-offs, and now playing defense. Like, that was something Lindy Ruff never would have done with Jack. And we saw it a little bit with Brat last year. You know, he'd have him out on the penalty kill, like the second unit, but you know, he's becoming a solid penalty killer for us. He's throwing Jack out in, you know, a minute left down or up a goal to defend, you know, like this is not shit that we saw out of Jack Hughes, and Jack is just coming through with flying colors. So I really like Sheldon Keefe's kind of trust in the whole team, mm-hmm. you know, and they even talked about it a little bit in the broadcast when I believe it was, Celebrini's line came on. McDermott's line was out there. McDermott went to get off the ice right away, and Keefe told him, no, stay. Like, you can defend these guys. Like, it's, you know, go and play with your line mates. We don't have to juggle like this. I trust all these guys. And it worked. It's worked. And this confidence is kind of that he's given these guys, you can tell. They're taking the responsibility, and they're you know, elevating their game because of it. And I really am happy with Sheldon Keefe. And I still feel, even after the loss yesterday, that they are this close away to popping. I really believe
it. Yeah, I agree. And I'm with you that I really have liked what he's done as a coach. You know, like you said, consistent lines to me is huge. You know, with the exception yesterday, when you're really trying to get that one goal, they did what a lot of people were saying they should do, right? They put Heischer with Hughes and Brat for a few shifts, you know, just try to get something going. But otherwise, it's been very consistent. And then I saw some kind of stat after the Islander game, maybe one of you guys saw it too, can help. Keefe's like second in the league or coaching maybe all time or something for comeback wins or game time wins.
I saw that,
yeah. In the hundreds, like his teams don't mm-hmm. give up, you know, and so that's definitely a testament to him. He's had some skilled teams, obviously, and some really great forwards like in Toronto, but still, I mean, to have that many to be like second is quite impressive. So still very happy with him. And I agree, dude, like, I know it looks hard now because we just lost to San Jose. We got the champs and then we got Tampa and then Carolina, but I just feel like they're ready to pop too. You know, I joke about the 4-game winning streak. It's probably not coming this week, but it's definitely going to come.
As long as they stay above 600, which is, I think, a 98-point pace, that is firmly in the playoffs. And if you look at the top four in point percentage, you know, Caps, Rangers, Carolina, and us, the teams below us fucking suck.
Yeah, they're not going to.
And even in the Atlantic, even in the Atlantic Division, if they stay above that 600, they'll be cruising into the playoffs. I firmly believe that. One thing I wanted to mention about Jack is when he's really going, he's just a ninja with his stick defensively. Like,
that's true.
The amount of times he can just pickpocket a defenseman, and he did it against San Jose. When he's not looking, his stick is actually oddly long for a guy his size, and he's just I don't know. It's just so precise with it. So that's just amazing. So I think that it's a great idea to get him in the penalty kill. Some of that could be because Lazar and Bastion are hurt and they're not throwing McDermott out on the kill. They're probably not totally trusting Dowling. I don't think Tatar is like a big PK guy. So there could be some of that at play. But yeah, he's coming up when his number's called. He's delivering. So it's pretty impressive.
Nice. And I honestly think that they can go down to Florida and win these next three. I really do. And how much does that change not just the narrative around this team right now? Because it's when they're talking to Metro and any of the national media, I see, you know, it's the Rangers and it's Carolina and everybody loves what Washington's doing. And yeah, of course, the Devils will be there. They're that afterthought. That, yeah, the Devils are, even like when they break down games on the NHL network, it's like the Devil games are rarely talked about. It's just kind of like, yeah, the Devils beat whoever, blah, 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 we're going to move on, or the Devils lost or whatever, and they just move on. And because I just think that I think a lot of the national media knows that this team's a lot better, they're going to make the playoffs, but they also trusted this team way too much last year. And I think a lot of these guys got burned because I was listening to guys saying, yeah, but the Devils are, you know, they're still going to turn it on, right? They're still going to be there. That was like in January. And, you know, we were over here going, no, that's not happening. They're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were going to, up until the day they were eliminated, I was like, how can this happen? I don't understand. And
denial.
You know, yeah, I was totally red pilled on denial.
Yeah, I'm still going through that on something else. So just go ahead.
Well, I think there's some. I think there's some of that.
I know, right?
It didn't happen. No, it's next week. Right. I think there's some of that residual kind of anxiety about last season that's lingering in this fan base, and that's why we're not quite there yet, trusting this team to be able to kind of. You know, they're not looking at all this stuff, and, you know, kind of more, you know, people that just like to watch the games are like, eh, they're kind of winning two and losing two and winning two and then winning three. So I could see that happening. One other thing I wanted to mention about Keefe's coaching, I actually have in my extensive notes over here, the top one.
He's prepared.
Is something I did. I wrote a bunch of shit down.
The floor is yours.
I can't read any of it. And
I have that same problem.
I know. I'm just like, I'm like worse than a doctor.
I write in the dark watching the game, like not even looking at my pad. Yeah. I'm just kind of scratching.
I love
doing
one
thing
that.
I noticed, the Islanders play a trap, and like against Calgary, and this kind of happened all last year under Lindy, is like he refused to change kind of the play style, and that speed transition game was, which is getting shut down in the neutral zone. It's like sticking a square peg in a round hole. It just wasn't working. It wasn't working. It wasn't working. It was frustrating. And that happened against Calgary a little bit. I think they got clogged up in the neutral zone, and like that's why they weren't really generating anything. The Islanders play a pretty successful trap as well, and they need to because, you know, they're down to like their last four guys. But one thing I noticed is that they're regrouping in the neutral zone a lot more. So, like, Jack will push the puck and realize, like, it's not there. He'll send it back to the D. The forwards will regroup, and then they'll take another shot at it.
Yep.
And then that's leading to two things. It's better transition games to the neutral zone, but it's also and Sal actually had a graphic last night about the volume of dump-ins that they're doing. And these dump-ins now are a lot more strategic. It's not just throwing the puck in to throw the puck in. Like if you're, you know, Dylan's throwing the puck to wrap it all the way around because he sees Mercer flying down the right wing board.
Right.
You know, they're kind of looped it a couple of times where he tossed it into the far corner because Nico had to step on his guy on the far board. So it's a little bit different, but those things can go a long way. But so the regrouping is something I've noticed a lot where they'll bring it back, they'll settle it down, they'll slow it down. That gives the forwards time to get back into their lanes, you know, readjust their routes that they're going to take, and kind of, you know, if you push the defense back and then And then come back. It kind of makes them keep, you know, it kind of makes them lose their gaps, which is what defense try to keep is a good gap control.
And that's something that
defenseman and forward.
That's
something coaching wise that I've noticed.
And that's something that last night they were trying to do. But it seemed to me like San Jose, just, they were not giving you any space. They were on top of whoever had that puck. They were putting one guy into forecheck, and they're a young, fast team. And, you know, it's like you say, like, you know, we play an Islander team, you might be able to wear them down in the third period. I just don't know how much you're wearing down that young Shark team that's just kind of full of piss and vinegar right now. And, you know, look, if it wasn't against the Devils, I'd be extremely happy with what the Sharks did the other night, because I don't hate the Sharks and I like that team. I do have a couple of things, though, I have to notice. What's the name of the coach of the Sharks? Who's the head coach?
Warsawski. Warsawski, I think.
Is that it?
Mike Wazowski.
Whatever his name is, we'll call him Mike Wazowski, the head coach of the San Jose Sharks. Bro, watch this show and look at two out of the three people here. You got to let it go, dude. He's got to shave the head. It looks so fucking bad. It resembles a baboon's ass. And he really needs to just shave it down. Now, since I'm putting on my fashion police badge, I will go one more and you know, throw a little shade towards our captain. The mustache is no good. Like, this fucking mustache has got to go. Like, I don't.
It's Movember, dude.
I don't know who Movember. I'm. Oh, is it's that it? It's Movember. Yeah. People still Movember. Do that shit.
And judging by some of the fan base, there's a certain population of our fan base that certainly enjoys the mustache on Nico. So
yeah,
I'm not going to judge. That is a handsome motherfucker. Like,
I don't like the mustache.
Now he's got the mustache.
He's got the mustache. Now he looks like a cop on Ventura Boulevard.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He does. Yeah. He looks like a cop on Ventura Boulevard or a porn star. Either one. I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of, like, the mustache in general, like, just as a standalone piece. It's either beard, goatee. I can't.
Like, it depends on the mustache. Like, if
you get some pretty cool ones.
You know, I had the handlebars going a couple of years ago. Yeah. Tony had grown his where he had to, like, just the kind of the Fu Manchu. I dig that. That looks cool.
Oh, did it really?
See, to me, that's beyond a mustache. See, I'm getting all that. The straight lip just above, like, you know, nothing coming down.
An eyebrow that came down for a drink, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it just doesn't, you know.
I'm with you.
Yeah, like Philip Forsberg on Nashville. I mean, that thing's like.
That's a fucking mustache.
Like Raleigh Fingers. Like, that's a mustache. Yeah. I saw, I don't know if it's real or not. I saw a picture of Patrick Laine's character on, Patrick Laine's character, sorry, on, in the new NHL video game, and he had a little Hitler stash.
Really?
I was like, what is this?
I don't know. It's like, you shouldn't. I think set him into video game form with the Hitler mustache. At least in real life, you just shave it. But I have seen more and more people, men with the Hitler mustache going. Like, I don't know if that's just a weak hair growth, or just if it's, I don't know, make it a comeback. I just think there's certain things that maybe should
it's
never
been
make
long
a comeback.
Enough. I just want to wear it.
Right. The Hitler mustache or anyone whose last name might be Hitler, you know, I think you automatically change that shit. Like, you just, you know, you don't name your child Adolf. You don't grow the mustache. It's just kind of normal practice.
It's just the way it's forever now. Like, right. Sorry. You should have got the memo. It's never coming back.
It's just like, I'm a big believer that every company that does anything that's in the public realm should have, like, a chief degenerate officer that, like, looks at their advertising, looks at their ad copy, looks at everything that they put out publicly. He's like, nope, can't do that. That looks like a dick. That can't be our ass. You know, or like, nope, can't say that because that's kind of rapey.
I think.
Or, you know what I mean? It's like.
I think, unfortunately, the way things are going to end up over the course of the next bunch of years, it'll be the complete opposite. The not rapey enough. Yeah. This is not enough dick jokes in this one. Like, you know, I don't think we've offended everybody in this commercial yet. Let's push a little forward here.
What's Mike McLeod doing?
Yeah, right. He's a new spokesperson of the NHL.
Yeah, exactly.
The PWHL. Right. That's where we're putting McLeod.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so new assistant coach of.
What do you guys think of the jerseys for the PWHL? Has everybody seen them?
Yeah,
I did see them. Yeah, when they came out, and I remember liking them. I think, but I don't remember them now.
I like them. I like the Montreal one's awesome. I think they did an incredible job with all their branding. Just sick. Yep. The New York one, like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like that, it's the garbage. Sirens. I thought because at the time they were playing, I think, in like Bridgeport, Connecticut. So I thought it was going to be like a Long Island Sound thing, you know, with like the sirens in the water, you know, sure. luring men to their demise.
Right.
But no, it's like horns and sirens. Like, that's what you're identifying with New York.
No,
like,
yeah, I would have gone the other way. Yeah. I would have thought that.
Yeah.
The sirens.
It just makes no sense. The Ottawa one kind of sucks. It's sort of like discount Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Or sorry, no, it's. The Minnesota ones, ooh, all right. I feel like F is a weird letter to do a logo with.
I like that jersey, though. That and the Montreal are my good. Two favorite ones. I like the colors in the Minnesota one, but you're right. Like, having just the F is a little, you know, we're female. You know?
fuck you.
Yeah, there you go.
I think when they have them on the jerseys now with their whole color schemes, they did a really good job. And, you know, look, there are leagues out there that put up some of the trashiest City Connect jerseys. So relative to some other products that have been out there, I think they did a pretty good job.
Now, Tim, who do you think has the best full uniforms in the NHL? And you can use any variation, like, you know, the Stadium Series look for the Devils. I know for me, that's definitely up there. But like, so any variation of past or present teams.
That's like 900 options.
Yes. The 1979 Oakland Golden Seal away jersey was the best.
I loved the Devils retro Kansas City jerseys, mm-hmm. the kind of yellow, red. I really just liked that color combination. Obviously, the Christmas retros are gorgeous for them.
Yeah.
Love the Blackhawks logo. Sorry, you know, send me to, you know, wherever. I don't care. I do like the two-tone Red Wings, red and white. Rangers are stupid. Fuck them. A lot of people like the Capitals Screaming Eagle jersey. I hate them. I'm not a fan of that. I think that they fucking suck. Those Florida with like the palm tree.
You like
ones,
that one?
Those I like those. I like, you know, anytime, you know, I liked how they leaned into the sort of the Miami Vice-ness of Florida. I thought that was a pretty good move. I'm not a designer, so like, you know, I'm not going to shit on somebody's work to be like, I think these are awful. It's just like, move on, you know?
I only saw them wear them once, but the Ducks wore, I think it was the opener, their home opener last year. They're all purple jersey with the like circle logo, and it had like the duck in the middle, said Anaheim Ducks, like inside the circle. And it was, that uniform was awesome. And like I said, I think I only saw them wear it once. The other one I really like, anything San Jose wears, I think they just always look like $1 million. But the all black looks awesome. And I'm a big fan of the Minnesota Wild. Their away stuff, I think they look awesome. I like the green. I like the whole logo. I like everything about them. But my favorite, and I said it last year, I think we all did, that the Stadium Series look for the Devils, that should be their that should be their jerseys, that should be their
uniform. That should be their alternate. I think that the rule with alternate jerseys is they're in 3-year cycles, so is the last year of the jersey. I'm pretty certain that's the rule, so hopefully that Stadium Series will become a new alternate, but they'll probably let Brodeur design some other
it'll say just new on it.
Oh, I will kill one jersey. The Los Angeles Kings outdoor game jerseys from, like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago were fucking atrocious.
I don't know if I remember those.
They're awful. They're like very 80s, like with like the LA with like.
Okay. You know, yes. I know the ones you're talking about.
They're just terrible looking. So I will shit on one of them.
Have we worn our jerseys yet this year?
I don't think so.
Bob, you don't know? What jerseys do you like?
They did, Bob? Actually.
They're done.
I thought so, but we don't need to hang up on that, I guess. But I think we went through this before. I like some of the classics. Like, I'm with Tim. I do like the Blackhawks jersey. I'm a big fan of the Kraken's look and Utah's color set. I think Utah's color set is actually really cool, whatever their name's going to wind up being. They just look really good. Obviously, the Devils set in itself is great. I think it's one of the best logos in sports. But specifically, like you guys, that Stadium Series jersey – it's that whole look was just incredible. Yep. So definitely go for that. And oddly enough, this one's so plain in the Rangers vein, But one of the Colorado dark jerseys, it's just Colorado cross, but the laces and everything, just the way the colors and everything work, it's just really sharp to me. But I hate like the Rangers, just kind of like a sellout kind of thing for me.
Coyotes had a really cool one, the maroon one that just said Arizona, I think, going across the same way. That was a really sharp jersey.
Sometimes they're just classically simple, you know, and the color palette just really works. So,
yep.
I thought that when we did the retro reverse or any other type of third jersey, I always thought the Avalanche wear it is are the old Colorado Rocky jerseys, like we should be wearing them, not them, you know. And you see them and they wear them sometimes and I think they look awesome.
Quebec shit.
I'm like, why is that there? Like, just because it was in Colorado, like that's our team. Like, did we leave?
Not their franchise.
It's not their franchise.
Stolen valor.
Stolen valor, like Tim Walz.
I think, you know what, maybe I was wrong about the Kansas City colors, but
go ahead.
I don't know, man.
You said about the Kansas City jerseys.
I think the Colorado colors is what I was talking about on the Jebels. That one
on the retro reverse.
Were the Kansas City Colorado numbers colors the same? I forget.
I think that was more of a throwback to Kansas City with the yellow on it and everything. Right?
Yeah, that had the yellow in it.
Yeah,
that
was.
Kid got me one, so.
Oh, really? I just, like you said, like Bobby said, it's like just like the palette is what,
you know,
I enjoy
funny,
the college,
like,
game.
Yeah.
When I became a Devils fan, it was basically the first year that they went to, you know, the black and red without the green. And as a new fan from that moment forward, I remember looking back at old clips with like the green and I hated it. I'm like, I'm so glad I became a Devils fan when they got rid of the green. And then after being a Devils fan for years and years, now any jersey they come out with any green on it, I absolutely love. Like, I love the actual green. They wore for one of the, not the Winter Classic, but
the Heritage
Classic.
Whatever
that other outdoor game. The Heritage Rangers.
The Yankee Stadium one, right?
That was gorgeous. Like, I love it. So now I'm all about any time they put like the green in there, which is weird because I hated it for some reason. Specifically the whites with the green, you know, pre-92.
Wow.
Now I like it all.
Because if you watch like the clips of the 80s of those guys in those colors, that's when the team was so bad. And it's almost kind of like a clownish kind of color combination when you're so bad. Then they move to the black. But now that they're actually a decent team and have three cups under their belt, now it's like kind of retroactively cool.
Yeah,
I was at that Devils game at Yankee Stadium, and it was probably, I think it was 0 degrees. It was so fucking cold out there. I couldn't make it the whole way. I had like 8 beers and I was like, this is doing nothing for me at all.
Wow.
Yeah, that's rough, man.
And then we lost that one bad, didn't we?
Yeah.
4-1 or something?
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't a good game. Yeah, I remember we had the other problem. We had to wait for like 2 or 3 hours for the game to start because there's a glare issue that someone didn't think of.
I think we even maybe scored first, right? And then just got like they scored the next 4 or 5 or something like that.
And stupid sun. I mean,
damn it.
It's not like it's
stupid
always
Yankee
up there.
Stadium.
At stupid Yankee Stadium. You know,
it goes to sleep at night.
No, that was iconic. That game, that was a beautiful looking game, man. I mean, come on. Yankee Stadium, playing out there on the ice.
That was cool. Awesome. It was really cool to be there. But like, it's just, I just couldn't get over it. I was wearing like 6 layers, man.
I'm a Mets fan, but you can't compete with like the tradition that is Yankee.
I mean,
you know what I mean? I mean, that's pretty.
And we all awesome. Are old enough to remember the times back when we first started watching. The whites were the home jerseys. They only wore the colors when they were out on the road.
Little known fact.
When did they switch that? Like, I don't know.
Right after the first
lockout.
So what's no?
Right after the full year lockout.
Was it? Okay.
2006.
Yeah. So we missed 2005, right? Yeah. No, we missed.
I thought we missed.
2005. Yeah. 2005.
2005. We missed. Yeah.
It was right after that. And then, so apparently the AHL, I believe, still uses whites as their home because in our middle school league, we're getting all crossed up because we got home and away sets. So we just bring both our jerseys everywhere because you never really know what you're going to get. And I was all preparing to put like the darks on because I just assumed everybody is dark for home now. And they're like, nope, not in this league. We follow the AHL. I'm like, the AHL doesn't do it? I got to watch more AHL.
Why don't they do it? Why are you, of all the leagues, why are you like, we're doing what the AHL does?
Why don't we do what the NHL does? Just a suggestion, you know, highest league in the world.
Do you know what I would love to see the Devils do, and Utica does it, black as the base color jersey, black pants, black socks, black helmet, with like the red logo. I think that would be baller.
Yeah, and we talked about it for years, always wanting a black jersey, and then when we finally got one, it was a stupid jersey. Yeah. So when we were going through that little rough patch, and I think Bobby, was that you that put the bag on X? You put a picture of a paper bag with the holes cut out in the eyes, and you wrote "too soon," and somebody sent it back with it saying "bag" across the top. I thought that was fucking great.
Bag, just like hat. And
whoever
jersey.
Did that, and that was so friggin' funny.
That's good.
All right, commercial time. The quest for the Stanley Cup starts now, and the puck's dropping on the 24-25 season, so get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up, because new customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code THPN, that's code THPN, for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, visit dkng.co/ice. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. That's DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Hey, Bobby, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about Game Time?
I would love to tell them a little bit about Game Time because this app is awesome. If you're looking for tickets to the game, and for us Devils fans, our next home game on 10/21 against Carolina, you might want to check out the Game Time app. I'm looking at $13 seats right now. I don't know that it gets any better than that, but if you want last-minute deals or just deal, I swear to God, sections 208, sections 216, very similar to what we paid over $100 for opening day.
Right.
Looking at them right now, it's available. The Game Time app features a Game Time Picks, which makes getting tickets to see your favorite team or concert easier than ever. Game Time Picks filters out all the fluff to only show you the incredible deals you're looking for. They have a slew of features like the all-in pricing toggle, which shows your total upfront. I did not do that for the $13 tickets, but the fact that they're $13 tells me it's good enough anyway. I will take that deal. They have a great panoramic seat view, so you know exactly what your sight lines are going to be. They have the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you up to 110% of the difference. And the Game Time ticket coverage is your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. $20 off of 13. I mean, I'm not great at math, but I think that's -7, right? So this is looking really good for anybody who wants these $13 tickets. If that's how it works, I don't know. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
And this is the last one, I swear. Is your Kermit again? What are you doing? Or no, Scooby-Doo?
I think that was an appropriate Game Time.
That was
maybe
was
I need
fine.
To put it in all caps. Here,
Rainbow.
To remind me to yell it.
That was good.
To Rainbow Connection, the lovers, streamers, and Game Time.
Oh, wait, hang on. What am I reading here? So we all love Black Friday and Cyber Monday, right? You get amazing deals that you wouldn't normally get, but you would be wrong because Raycon gets you an amazing deal on premium audio every day of the year. But that doesn't mean they're not having any sales for Black Friday or Cyber Monday. Far from it. They're actually doubling down on their amazing value by offering viewers of this show up to 30% off site-wide. A Black Friday Cyber Monday deal you'll appreciate every day. Raycon's everyday earbuds, especially if you haven't checked out their latest model, which includes plenty of new features that make them more of a must-have for any audio lover. For example, they have 32-hour battery life with multi-point connectivity, which lets you listen to two devices at once, or at least connect to two devices at once, which is awesome. Raycon's everyday earbuds also come with active noise cancellation. It is a feature for long flights, long drives. Anytime you just have too much noise going around you, you need to get away. This noise, active noise cancellation is a beautiful thing. That's another thing. Although Raycon's quality rivals some of the biggest names in premium audio, Raycon start at just half the price as the other guys. So they're already an incredible deal, even before you factor in the Black Friday Cyber Monday offer of up to 30% off site-wide. Raycon's everyday earbuds are also available in a variety of vibrant colors. So you don't have to just have the standard issue white or black earbuds sticking out of your ears. You can look cool with different vibrant colors. You'll become vibrant. That's the perfect time.
I definitely need to look cooler, so I might have to look into these. You do. Something's got to fix this.
Yeah, those plain white headphones are just not cutting it.
We were thinking hair plugs, but I guess you can go with a vibrant color. There's a pot Raycon everyday earbud. And Bob,
hang on, sorry.
Now is the perfect time to scoop them up if you haven't already. And don't worry, because if you're not as impressed as I am with Raycon, Bobby, they will give you a 30-day happiness guarantee. So you can't lose. It's time to save big for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get up to 30% off site-wide. You can only get the 30% off if you use code THPN and go to buyraycon.com/THPN. Again, that's it. Those are the commercials.
Chris, check it out. I think we got ourselves some more frozen wood.
Oh, yeah, he is frozen.
He's moving again.
God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's back. You guys froze. I'm back.
We can hear
you. I just, like...
So, is this...
Do you ever notice how silly people look when they freeze? Like, there's not a single way you can look attractive when you freeze.
It never freezes cool position. No. You always look like a fucking reject.
Well, Chris looks like he's like in witness protection the entire time.
Hold on here, because I'm dealing from a major point of disadvantage, because you're both blurry.
Yeah.
Usually it's just Chris. I cannot pick up on the symbols at all as to when to jump into a conversation here. You guys are just like muddled little blurs.
Now, is that your connection?
that's actually what I really look like.
I'm clear.
I'm just...
I'm perfectly clear.
Tim's
like,
now
I
clear, but you are always fuzzy on mine.
Right now, I'm perfectly clear. I'm talking like 4K, 1080p bullshit right here. I look awesome. And
that's extremely clear. I didn't know you could get that on a PC from 2002.
You look like I've actually found an older PC today in one of the Christmas boxes. And I was like, I wonder if this would work. So I charged it up. And then it took me about a half an hour to remember my password because I'm like, this was like literally 12. Like I had this PC when I had the bar. So that's how long ago this was, right? So I was like, all right, I fucking remembered the password and I get in and I have to update everything, reset it to factory settings and all this stuff. So I'm like, let me go on the Riverside and just see if this thing would record at all. And it threw me off the minute I got on. I was like, all right, this is maybe good to watch Netflix on. That's about it. But
yeah, considering I had to upgrade my computer before the last pod and the computer's only 4 years old just to do Riverside. You're definitely not going to get it on a PC that's that old.
Oh, God.
That's how they get you.
So
that's how they get you.
Is it your connection, Tim, the fact that you live in like East Bubblefuck over there?
Yeah. Honestly, I would suspect it might be. This is my brother's house. We just got Wi-Fi like 2 years ago.
Really? Welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, no, before I had to use my phone hotspot as like Verizon. But it probably is. I don't know. It looks like I'm down a bar on my computer. But
listen, to our listeners, you know, we've been promising this. You know, we're going to work on the production. You know, he says for 3 straight years, this is going to happen. We're going to clean this shit up at some point.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a way. Maybe it's Riverside. Maybe we need to go to another we don't have to have this on-air production meeting right now. Yeah, so
no, I no. mean, no, but you hear that, Riverside? You better watch it back.
You better watch your shit. Maybe
we're taking our revenue with us.
Maybe StreamYard is the way to go. Hey, we get our revenue no matter who we record on. You know, we get our 35 cents a quarter.
Right, but Riverside ain't gonna get our 35 cents a quarter.
They took their money for the year, so we should probably be stuck with them until at least September. But so
to our fans, we'll work on production in year 4.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know what, though? They do like to listen. I got a bunch of nice emails from some listeners just this week, you know, saying that they enjoy the show, wanting stickers. One of our listeners down in Florida, I had asked him if he was going to be able to make any of the games. He said, unfortunately, not for work, but he can't get there. But that would definitely be a fun couple of games. We will have an Uncle Pucker on the ground for Saturday night in Tampa because Tony is at that, will be at that game. And he said, awesome. We have to go on like a few minutes before the end of the game because he's going to call in. So he'll call right. in and, yeah, get us, let us know what's going on from Amalie Arena, hopefully after a big, fat Devil win.
Yeah, they need that. They need that revenge game. Hopefully none of the listeners are like, this new guy fucking sucks.
No. Can't even get his connection right.
Literally, I can't even fucking hear this guy.
I don't think that's going to happen given the other two hosts that are always here.
And believe it or not, you'll sound fine on the finished podcast. It's just, you'll sound fine, which is strange. I don't know how technology works sometimes, but it's an amazing thing. So what do you think? Markstrom all three games? You giving Allen a game here?
It's funny you should bring that up because I was actually going to ask you who should actually be our starter right now. I don't know. Is Allen outplaying Markstrom or is this just like an unlucky kind of thing?
All right. I will say what I think. And then, Tim, I'd love to hear from you on this because I will say to your first or last question first, yes, Jake Allen is outplaying Jacob Markstrom. But I think that's because we are using Jake Allen sparingly. I think if you gave Jake Allen Jacob Markstrom's workload, he wouldn't look like this Jake Allen. That's okay. My opinion. What do you think, Tim?
Hang on one second. I want to look at their stats. I did see something where you take that Tampa game out of Allen's sample, and his save percentage is above 950.
Holy shit.
He's like 940 with it, isn't he?
Yeah, it's I think it's 914.
Oh, 914. Okay.
Yeah, there was,
a four in there.
Yeah.
940 is crazy.
Yeah, but you take that game out, but that's kind of like the how crazy kind of early season sample sizes are. Sure. I mean, Markstrom's played 12 games, Allen 6, so they're really kind of firmly leaning into Markstrom as the number one. I think Markstrom goes the first game, then you don't put Allen out there against Tampa. Nope. So I think they go Markstrom, Allen.
Yeah, I think that works.
And I think we're going to continue to see the 2-1 thing. You know, there's also, I think, a contract clause for Allen where if he plays above 40 games or something like that.
Oh, so he's going to get 39.
Basically. So Fitz is like, I think they're going to continue rolling like that. I think goaltending in general, and I saw this somewhere a couple of days ago. It's probably, you know, kind of constantly changing, but I think for the first time in a while, league average save percentage was below 900.
Wow. Not since like the dead puck era.
What a different world. Yeah.
It's wild, you know, because, and I think a lot of fans need to really reset kind of their expectations on what actually makes kind of a good goalie from, if you're looking at just like save percentage, like Markstrom's at a 902. That's like anything above 900 now is pretty good or above average.
Yeah. You're above, you know, league average.
Very rarely are you going to see a guy that's 920, 930 like we used to. It just doesn't happen anymore. You know, the game has swung so far towards offense and shooters. Like, you know, some of these fourth liners, you know, with the stick technology and just the way that you know, specialized skill training happens with kids, these guys can just shoot so well. Every single scrub on every team can just pick the corners on you. And I think Markstrom has a vulnerability underneath his glove hand. That's like three or four that have gone
right in between, underneath his glove. Yep.
Yeah. And his reputation coming from Vancouver and Calgary were that, that he is prone to a softie earlier in the game. But like I said, like he's locking down games when we need him to in the third.
So who do you think is playing better right now, Tim?
I think Allen's playing better. I mean, his just generally. But again, it's he's only played six games. So
do you think Allen, if he could, do you think that Allen can maintain the way he's playing if he had the, you know, amount of starts that Markstrom has?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No. And there's also, you know, I assume, you know, that there's also circumstantial stuff like, you know, the types of games and when you're coming off and, you know, when was the last time you played and how the team plays in front of them. You know, do they, Do they take a better, more defensive posture, you know, or are they feeling a little bit more confident when they're in front of you and kind of be a play a little bit more freewheeling of a style? So I think all of that kind of goes into it. But right now, Allen's been better. But again, it's limited sample.
What do you think, Bob?
Listen, I'm just going with the eye test, right? It's just one of those things where you're just feeling like right now Allen is seeing it a little better. And if the team's really trying to sell us on this 1A, 1B situation, if you have a hotter goalie, then the ideology behind that would be that you would ride him a little more. But everything that Tim just mentioned makes absolute sense. All the schedule, the timing. I still say Markstrom's our guy, and I let him roll with this 2-1 scenario in games played. So he's still our main starter.
Devils have allowed six goals in their last five games. I mean, that's a little crazy.
That's good. Yeah. That's very good.
You know,
that's
that's pretty sick. So, I mean, the team in front of them, both guys are playing good, but the guys are making, each of them are making amazing saves when they have to. But
go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No.
I'm not like truly like an analyst type of guy when I watch these things, right? I just like, I see something and it sticks with me. And like Markstrom, for example, like letting in the first goal or being prone to a softy, it does seem very repetitive. You know what I mean? So I'm like watching. So I'm like, this is aggravating. I think he did it in the Islander game too. I'm like, you got to stop that. And sure, they came back and win, so you forget about it. And I was the first. I just read that whole thing about Shesterkin and the goal against and had three games. I'm all for that. But it feels like it's happening all the time. You know what I mean? Because I don't always dive into these stats. I'm mostly not that heavily opinionated most of the time. So I think I have to leave the podcast. Because maybe
what the fuck are you talking about?
No, I don't like to be opinionated. I really don't. It just kind of comes with the job. But it's just the eye test. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the feeling I get now that, you know, maybe at some point Allen gets a couple in a row. But for the most part, I think Markstrom's our number one. You got to ride
him. I mean, I'll say this. Allen is completely surprising the hell out of me this year because I thought he played very good for us when he came in last year. He did have a couple of stinkers late in the year, but I think the whole team was just ready to go hit the links. They didn't give a fuck. And so, I mean, I'm willing to throw all of his starts last year away. But I watched him a few games in Montreal the last couple of years, and he was not very good. So when we first got him, I was like, okay, great. There's the consolation prize. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Right. But I was happy with how he played. This year, he has completely surprised me with how good he's playing. But again, I think more starts. Like, you see it, yes, Allen, I mean, Markstrom is prone to let the softy in once in a while. But Allen is prone occasionally to have just games where every time he touches the puck, it's a fucking adventure. Every, you know, he'll flop around, you know, and stuff. And there's some getting that. Tampa was probably the only game we saw him do that this year, but I saw him quite a few before he got to the Devils having games like that. And, you know, so I don't know, like, I'm shocked at how well he's playing. And I give a ton of credit to the team in front of him. But I mean, I think, yes, Markstrom is the guy. And if Allen can just play every third game and play this well, I mean, you got to be so comfortable going into the playoffs. Because, yeah, we have a goalie that lets in a softy a game as opposed to last year where we had goalies that let three or four softies in a game.
Sure. And he's not going to do that all the time. And let me just rephrase this one more way. If it wasn't for this week coming up and the schedule the way we laid it out, which is exactly why I agree it should be Markstrom. Coming off of this game to San Jose, even though it's a loss, that's one of those games where I say Allen deserves the next start.
Okay.
That's how well he played. You know what I mean? You do that sometimes, like if your backup maybe gets a shutout or whatever, you just do it. It was that close to being a shutout. He was literally trying to will that team to win. So I would normally give him this next game, but considering it's Florida, Tampa, I would not now for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, technically, I mean, the Sharks didn't score on him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an own goal.
And we could see that. We could see Allen Markstrom Allen.
Now,
I don't know.
Now, we did talk about what the narrative changes of the Devils. They go 3-0. They get, you know, five out of these next 6 points. Well, how does the narrative change, and what does it change to if they get no points or they get 1 point? And what is the 4-in-a-row losing streak, 2 to Florida, 1 to San Jose, 1 to Tampa, you know, how does that narrative turn if the Devils just shit the bed down there?
Well, you're talking about that would be at the end of game 22. So the Devils would be 10-10-2. again, 500, which is where we were just a couple weeks ago when I was very concerned about that and gave them a C. So that would really suck and it would change a lot, but it's still something they can rebound from. This is a grueling week. Like, it sucks that we lost San Jose to start it, but if they really lost two games to Florida and they weren't like disastrous blowouts, I mean, are you really going to, you know, or is the
it depends on the losses. All right. If this is a, you know, they lose both games by a goal, maybe one loss in overtime, something like that. And you were, you hung with them and, you know, that game, the games could have gone either way. Then no, I wouldn't be hair on fire, blow the whole thing up. If it's, you know, 6-2, 7-1, and then we roll into Tampa and lose, you know, 4-3. Yeah, then had hair on fire. But
I'd be a little more concerned post your little 4-game losing streak, because then we just got the Hurricanes and the Capitals,
right?
And I just don't know what the hell would happen. Now you're talking about maybe being potentially being sub 500 or close at Thanksgiving, which is later this year. That would be pretty bad.
I mean, if they finish up after the Capital game sub 500, then I think you really do have to put the worry hat on that this team just might not be there yet. So, Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm actually, I didn't realize this. So, Florida's 8-1-1 in their last 10, and they've won seven in a row. The interesting thing, though, is they've given up 46 goals in 15 games, which is a lot. I don't know what the goals per game against is. And we've given up 49 in 18 games. So they're not exactly keeping the puck out of their net at an elite rate. They are scoring a shitload of goals. And their goal differential is a plus 12. Ours is a plus 13. So, like I said, if they keep this points percentage above 600, that's, you know, I realize that's just kind of oddly, you know, hoping they stay afloat. Mm-hmm. But this week, you know, this is a tough week. You know, whoever makes the fucking schedule at the league for the Devils, fuck that guy. Because last year with all the back-to-backs and then like sending us to Europe and then the early season condensed schedule and now sending us down to Florida for 3 games in 6 days. Like fuck you, man. Like, what's your problem?
Yeah, I'm with you. I love it.
But
they're fifth in goals for in the league, and they're 14th in goals against.
Yeah. So I, you know, they're a very good team. They're the Stanley Cup champions, and like I actually didn't really think about it, but you're totally right about the second game. Like, that could get real nasty.
Yeah. Devils are second in goals for and 21st in goals against.
I think just volume wise, I'd look at goals per game because we have played a lot more games than several teams.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I'm nervous, man. I am nervous with these games coming up.
I'm gonna flip-flop the way that Tim predicted the next game. I'm going to have the Devils winning the first game against them because I think this game really does mean everything to them, just like Edmonton. And I think they're going to beat that. I think the Stanley Cup champs will be the ones to adjust to us and beat us on Thursday. And then we'll go ahead and a little payback to Tampa. So we're going to come out of this 2-1. So we don't have to worry about all the rhetoric we just said. None of that's going to happen. They're going to be absolutely great and just on our way to a Stanley.
You lose a close one to Florida either night. You beat them the other game, and
got a split.
You're coming out of this, and people are going, "Yeah, the Devils are for real. They took, you know, split the series down in Florida with the Panthers, and the game they lost was, I mean, they were right there in it, or you know, whatever. Yeah, that can be." All right, so you're saying, Bobby, a Devil win and Tuesday followed by a loss on Thursday. Tim, you're going to flip that, and you're going to go with the Devil's loss on Tuesday and a win on Thursday. Because we're still way too early in this season for me to, like, have a legit solid opinion about this team yet, because I really don't, you know. I could see him losing both these games to Florida. I could see him winning it. So I really don't have enough of a sample size to say what I really think is going to happen, because I think they've played well. So I'm going to just throw some good positive shit into the universe and say they take them both. They beat Florida. To both games, I'm going to say that they can do it. I mean, they just seeing how they've played. I mean, they take the just go a week or so back. You know, Vancouver made it to the second round of the playoffs last year, right? They won their division. We destroyed them, throttled them. Edmonton.
Yeah.
We all know how they ended up last year. We throttled them. So why can't we do the same to the Panthers?
And, you know, just for the record out there, anybody listen, Chris, you know, when he throws something out in the universe, it's got a tremendously great track record of working out, like the San Jose preview. I mean, it was right there.
The universe listens, is what I'm saying.
Hey, Chris nailed the 3 points for Jack.
I did. And how fucking close did I get to a Pesci goal against the Islanders? Against San Jose. I got really close to that because I set a Pesci goal for that one.
But we have speaking of Pesci, we have a new Twitter dad. Brian Pesci, his dad, is, I guess, pretty active on Twitter. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Is he the one that was saying that he wanted Dawson Mercer to score a goal or predicted Dawson Mercer is going to score a goal?
Yeah.
We should get him on the podcast. He's like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'll ask him for her.
Yeah. Ask him. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And we got to get Danico to add the and Tim to the beginning.
Yep. I got to go back into the website and take away frequent contributor already. It took me like 3 hours to fucking build that, Tim. I got to just add you up top, I guess.
The one guy that we might not want to add, I don't know, like, I spend more time than I should on Twitter. And this new kid, Gabe Trevino, who took over for Novo at NJ.com.
Everything you just said to me made no sense. I am so not
into There's
Twitter.
A new Ryan Novosinski.
Yeah, I've seen his stuff.
Oh, I am. I know. So, yeah, Ryan Novosinski, right? He used to write for NJ.com. Yeah, okay. So he now writes about the Giants, and they brought in a new Devils beat reporter who
didn't we have Ryan on
kind
the show?
Of put out a
Bobby?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we did have Ryan.
I mean, we
on
have so many guests. It's hard
no,
to
but like back remember. In like the playoffs 2 years ago, I think he was on.
I think we maybe did. Yeah.
I think it was him. Okay, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
So anyway, his replacement put out a goofy tweet last night, kind of mocking the Devils for when that empty netter hit the post.
Yeah.
And people just piled on him, so they're not happy. So, Devils fans can be a fickle, fickle bunch.
Yeah, they can. That's why I don't really,
especially on the socials.
Yeah, I don't really go on, not because of Devil fans, just because I don't particularly like anything that goes on. You know, I'll go on occasionally to see and you know. What our show's doing or like comment on just a Devil thing here or there, but like I can't get involved in that stuff, man. It's just dark sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I spend all day there arguing with people about politics and the economy and Devil stuff. I was going back and forth with someone who said that Timo's not pulling his weight, which I just disagree with. You know, the one interesting thing, speaking of Timo, is every year we've always had like one whipping boy that everyone can get on board would be like, this guy fucking sucks and we want him off our team. It was Damon Severson, Vitek Vanacek.
Alex Holtz.
Blackwood. He was more about the conversation. Blackwood. But this year, I don't think we have one particular guy that everybody's like, fuck this guy, get him off my team. I just don't see that. I see a couple people being like, oh, Dougie made another mistake.
All right, so we got to start this then. Is what you're saying.
No, we got to
start that. Dougie needs to get off this fucking team right now.
Nope.
All right.
That's
so
not what I heard.
I looked into Dougie a little bit because I was concerned about his play. And
you were concerned about the social media hate he was about to get.
No. Well, yeah, because, and I think we need to knock off the Dougie slander. He's actually having a very good season, to be honest. All the advanced metrics point to that. He's got 10 points or 12 points, I think, in 18 games. He's getting a lot of assists on the power play. He's picking that up.
His defensive game is terrible. His defensive game is terrible. I get it. He racks up assists. He's a cornerstone of that first power play. I completely understand that. And I love the good that we get from him. But the dude defensively is a fucking liability. And that's I know he's having a good season offensively. But I just think that he's a liability. I don't want to see him off this team.
What do the advanced metrics say?
Yeah, what do they say about his defense?
That's what I'm looking up. So,
does he not remind you of Derek? Chris?
Oh, no.
A little bit of Derek in his response.
It's just really weird because I hear him fine, but he's moving at a sloth's pace at everything he's doing.
That's just how he moves. He told me.
No,
that.
I mean, this is like he's like barely moving, but all his words are coming out fine, and I'm like mesmerized by it. It's so weird, and then like I'm down thinking like, is he doing it on purpose? Like, is he fucking with us, or is he really smart, or is he really that bad of a lag? But he's doing it again.
He's moving fine for me.
Really? I was going to mention it before to see if it was just me, but it's definitely now you're doing it on
Commodore
fucking purpose.
128 and see what we can do from there.
All right, so what's his metrics there?
I'm trying to look up. So he's leading the team in expected goals, but that's more of an offensive zone. I'm trying to find. There's no percentage on this.
On shittiness? I give Dougie's defensive shittiness grade like a 62% right now.
So here's the thing. Like what we notice are gaffes, right? When he makes a mistake, we notice that. And he makes one, maybe two of those a game. What we don't notice is the other 90% of what he does. When he gets puck out of the zone, his first pass is crisp out of the zone all the time. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I know I may be pixelated right now, but I'm staring at you.
I'm listening with bated breath.
Please. The fact of the matter is we don't have Damon Severson anymore back there. And if the worst thing we have is Dougie Hamilton in our D-Core, I think we're going
to
be okay.
And I completely agree. But to just go back to your original conversation, how you said that you just feel like this season's a waste if we don't have somebody to shit on the entire year.
No,
that's what I heard. And so I was just bringing Dougie up so everyone can start shitting on him because, Tim, you're really the one who started this whole thing. So
I was saying it's a good thing that we don't have a universal person that we're shitting on.
I didn't hear that.
This year. I was saying the opposite. Sorry, I guess I didn't really totally – make sense.
It is a good thing. You don't have
so
universal shitting.
Yes. Yeah, so we have four defensive pairs, right?
Yes.
And expected goals percentage is basically like, you know, the share of goals that you're expected to get while you're on the ice.
We have three defensive.
Sigurdsson Kovacevic is 64%. We've had four that have played.
Oh, okay.
Sigurdsson Kovacevic is 64%. That's extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
Dougie and Dylan are 55%.
Mm-hmm.
Hughes and Pesci are actually at 48%, and Nemec Case here at 31%. Okay. So that was the metrics that we were looking at with Nemec and Case. We're like, this is.
I really do like Dougie Hamilton, and I know what Dougie will be that guy in a year or two from now when the contract starts getting old, and if the team hasn't won anything yet. And yes, but right now I think there's still a lot of game that he can do that's a lot of good, but he just has to tighten it up defensively because some of his mistakes are just glaring. Now, they're not as bad as they were last year when before he got injured, where most of those ended up in the back of the net. Like, we are actually getting, decent goaltending, and his partners are a lot better and helping, and the forward team's a lot better and helping out defensively. But and maybe it's just because the team has been so good defensively that just a few little glaring errors stand out a lot more. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, the man ripped his titty. So, you know.
Yeah. And you know, if you go back to the first year that he came here, right, and he got his jaw busted and he missed a significant amount of time, came back. He was not the same Dougie at the end of that year.
Nope.
That injury lingered. That, you know, he was just, and then we get to the 112 point season and he's Dougie Hamilton again. He has a fantastic year. And now you're coming off another injury. Maybe there's something to that. You know, maybe there is just something where maybe by, you know, another month or so when he's fully comfortable, he'll play at his form. And I hope you're right.
No, it's just the net effect of this contract in total when it's over probably won't be good.
Yeah.
I'll put it that
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
You know, like, he's been hurt a lot. He had one really good season and that's it.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm just trying to defend because I've seen some Dougie slander.
No, we should defend anyone on this team. Like, if they fuck up, they fuck up. But it's still our guys, you know, unless somebody has a legitimate replacement for that person, then there's really nothing that you could argue about. Like, right now, who is even available that you could possibly put in Hamilton's spot that's going to give you a better game than him? There isn't somebody, is there?
There isn't somebody.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So until you got somebody.
All right.
I'm with you. It's just fun picking on him. All right. Anything else before we wrap this thing up?
No. One thing, I don't know if we have time. Something interesting happened last week in kind of the hockey world, where the NCAA is allowing Canadian Hockey League players to come into college now. Before, they weren't allowed to. So when you're a 16-year-old kid, you kind of had to make the choice to go to Junior A in Canada's or go the NCAA route. Now, because juniors is basically 16 to 20-year-olds, and college freshmen, the average age of college freshmen in hockey is actually 20 or 21.
Really?
Blew my mind. Yeah, a lot older than I thought. So it's kind of interesting. So it's going to be interesting to see how that sort of plays out and what the sort of second and third order, you know, issues that come out of that. You know, this may be an issue for the USHL, which then in turn may be an issue for the U.S. development program.
That's where I was going to go with this, because like I've heard other people talk about this and I keep coming up with the, okay, but so what? Like, I mean, why does that matter that they're allowed now to go? Like, does it hurt somebody? Is it going to give somebody an edge over a league over another one? Like, I just don't understand it. That's what.
So, well, yeah.
I don't understand why we should care.
If you went the junior round, basically when you turned 20, there was no real other place for you to go except for like Canadian university, which isn't nearly as good as the US NCAA program. Okay. Now those kids can now come to. After finishing their junior careers or during their junior careers, a kid can make the decision at 17, 18 and say, you know what? I'm going to college. Like, I don't want to do this. Or a kid in college who's dumb as rocks is like, fuck this class stuff. I'm going to go play juniors. So they can kind of come back and forth. The USHL was built out to really be almost a development and feeder system into the NCAA.
Right.
Now that the CHL, the OHL, WHL, and QMJHL can send kids to college, that's going to provide an influx of talented kids that are over 20 coming now down south of the border.
Okay, so this is a big college. Deal.
It's a pretty big
this
deal.
This can legitimately take the NCAA to a whole different level.
Yes, and then the ripple effect where those kind of fringe Division I players will then go to other Division I schools, strengthening those programs.
And maybe schools that don't even have programs will start getting
Division
programs.
Division III, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The ripple effect of how this all plays out is going to be something to watch. I think it's going to affect the USHL the most. But then there are places like the SEC. Like, imagine if Alabama and like Florida and Florida State and Miami actually had good Division I hockey teams. That would be nuts.
Do they even have hockey teams at all?
They do. They're all club teams for the most part. Okay. But it's one of my buddies, his nephew plays for Florida. And it's fun, but like, you know, they have to self-finance, you know, scholarships, all that shit. So anyway, I thought that was that's kind of an interesting development that happened in the last week or so.
That is interesting.
In the hockey world.
Bob, anything to add?
I do not. I had a tweet from Stan Fischler, another dig on Igor, but I must have deleted it. I can't find it.
Oh, so come on.
Maybe for the next show. He's just ripping into him again. I forget what it was.
Yeah, but that's so much. Wait. That's the best way to close
I know.
The
I
show.
Think that's the best way to end it. I know. And instead, I'll just apologize to our like two listeners that have mustaches. I didn't mean to offend you. Please, you know, hang around for a little bit. And to everybody else, I just apologize for the show in general. You know, sometimes, you know, we just go.
Wait, I want to see. Where did you try and look for it?
I mean, I guess you can go right to his page on Twitter.
Yeah.
I just. What's like
this?
I said, I
what, this one?
It.
For millions of dollars less, the New York Rangers got better goaltending in Detroit from non-inflationary Jonathan Quick than the inflationary poor little rich boy who'd better be better next time out than he did versus Buffalo. Peter Laviolette should stick with the hot goalie quickly.
Isn't it great? He's just so he's just bashing him.
He is quickly, an artist. Though. Yes. He is an artist.
So yeah, he's, great way to end it. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. He's on a generational hater tour. It's
yeah, he fucking despises Shesterkin. We got to dive into that. We got to dive into
it. It is crazy because he kind of covers the metro area like he always has. So to be that specifically biased against one player
is
awesome.
We
got to
dive into this a little more. We got to find out what is with the
what
hate. Because it's it's not.
Took his wallet.
Maybe. Maybe he said something about
money hungry.
Sans mama. Who's about 172 right now?
Probably, yeah.
All right, boys.
All right, boys.
Yeah, we're going to wrap this thing up. So wherever you're listening to us, a 5-star review, a positive comment, whatever you want to do, we appreciate it. Anybody that is interested in getting one of these super awesome, if you can see it there, Uncle Pucker New Jersey Devil sticker, just go to the UnclePuckers.com, check out the contact info, throw it in, and we will get them out in the mail. Anyone that has... asked for them recently. They are in the mail now, so you will be getting them shortly. For Bob and Tim, I'm Chris. We're the Uncle Puckers. We'll see you when we see you.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!